Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships? What makes them work? How to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. Hello, everyone. I'm here today with Marina Love, and we're going to talk about why love feels hard when life looks fine. If you've ever found yourself asking, why am I not happier when my life looks fine? You're not alone. Marina is a solution-focused hypnotherapy who works with high-achieving, self-aware people who feel capable on the outside, but stuck, overwhelmed, or even drained on the inside, often noticing that these patterns show up most strongly in their relationships. She has a background in marketing and a deep curiosity about why people who seem to have it all together can still struggle internally. She takes a compassionate, practical approach grounded in neuroscience and helps people to regulate their nervous system, moving out of survival mode and into a calmer, more energized, an emotionally present way of living without needing to revisit the past. Marina is known for working quickly and effectively, with many clients telling her they noticed meaningful changes within just a few sessions. Welcome, Marina.
Thank you for having me, Heather. Great to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. This is such important work because there's so many levels of different emotional and relational trauma that people bring into their lives, and this is one way to address some of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me, what's the most common question people bring to you, even if they don't say it out loud, when you're reading between the lines? What do you pick up?
What I mainly pick up is people want to know, why do they feel the way that they do? You know, because often life looks fine on paper on the outside. You know, they're working, holding down a job, got family, busy lives, lots going on, but something just doesn't feel right. And they want to understand why and how do I stop doing the thing I'm doing? And often people come with maybe a pattern, a behavior, maybe a habit that's kind of brought them to me. But really, when you dig under the surface, there's a lot more going on. And they really want to know, why is this happening? Because everything seems like it's all going fine. They've got, you know, so much going for them. And why do they still feel this way?
And why do you think that is, and that they feel so unsettled and sort of split from themselves? And especially, can you say how all of this affects relationships?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people, I think one of the biggest kind of misunderstandings is that they learn to cope with how things are. And our internal mental load really just builds up over time. It starts to accumulate, you know, the pressures that we have in work, in our relationships, in our social life, all these kind of things that go on that add pressure and create sort of that low hum of stress underneath really starts to build. But it happens quite slowly, and we learn to adapt and cope with those things. And so we're coping rather than being calm. We're kind of surviving rather than thriving. Go back to that kind of quite common phrase that we hear, but it is, when you really look into it, is it's that we learn to cope with how our life has become, how the with and with that underlying stress. And you know, it's just there's a constant pressure that's just running there in the background, just running this low hum all the time, and it just puts your system into survival mode. And then so we're operating there, and we're very much reacting to things rather than thinking about an appropriate response or how to take this forward. We just automatically react. And I think in relationships that shows up quite quickly because our brain is wired for connection. You know, you think you go back to, you know, way back to our ancestral times, and you know, we want to be part of the tribe. And you know, if you're not part of the tribe, then you're outside the tribe and you're on your own. And that can signal danger. You know, it could be a threat. You're on your own. You've got nobody around you as to support and comfort and protect you. And so I think that sort of really shows up much more in relationships. And because those people are the closest to us, so we've got more of an emotional tie, more of an emotional relationship with people that are that we know the best and that we have relationships, whether it's friendships, love life, you know, different types of relationships. And it carries more emotional weight for us
So it
because
matters more.
it matters more. Yeah, these people are important to us. They know us. We know them. And so it has that really emotional tie. And, you know, that part of the brain that's responsible for all your emotional regulation and your thinking, and, you know, that just then, that's not come online a lot of the time. You don't have space to be like, to be in that part of our brain, because the survival part of the brain is really taken over. And that reactive emotional part. And that's
Yes. And I can see, you know, there's a phrase that's doing the rounds at the moment called intimate enemies. If you start to be reactive and you're coping up here and you're not really able to think, you often experience other people as emotionally threatening. So you're responding to them as if they're getting at you, as if they're trying to irritate you, or as if they're disregarding you or dismissing you. And that's not really necessarily the case. It's because you're in this reactive state.
exactly. And that reactive state, it's very negative. So we're always going to be thinking about things from the worst possible situation, because that's what your brain's trained to do. That's what it's naturally wired to do, to see everything for what could potentially happen. So you think about things from a very negative perspective, but it's also quite obsessive. So you can be thinking about that thing, and you get into these spirals, these kind of negative loops where you're obsessively thinking, because really your brain doesn't want you to forget that that threat is there, because that could endanger you. So it wants you to be aware that this threat is around us. So it also leads to being very hypervigilant. So you're looking for signs, you're looking for evidence that threat is there. So if someone is, you know, being dismissive, or they're ignoring you, or you know, you start to notice it more, and you notice little signs like, well, they didn't send me that, or I didn't get that, or they didn't say this, or they didn't put a little kiss on the end of the email or the text message this time. And so you start to notice all these things, and then you read bit more into it, because you're that survival emotional part of the brain is very alert to it all. So it starts to notice these things, and then you become quite obsessive about it and negative and read more into it potentially. So that's, you know, and you get into these patterns of behavior. We start to repeat it as well.
And then you've got all the body chemistry going on, and then the reaction to all of this. So I think when we were chatting before, you talked about cortisol and adrenaline, and then the emotional reaction, which is often guilt and shame, and that
Yes.
keeps people stuck. Would you like to say a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, we've got sort of two parts to our brain. We've got this thinking part of the brain, which is, creative, can make decisions, planning, logical part of the brain. And it's quite a positive part as well. But then you've also got the second part, which is all about survival. It's really that fight, flight, freeze response sits there in that survival part of the brain. So when we feel threatened, and especially if we're carrying a quite an emotional load that's built up over time, we can drop down into that survival part of the brain very quickly, and that fight, flight, freeze response automatically just appears and drops in. And that's where your adrenaline and your cortisol really sits, because when your stress is high and you're in that survival mode, then you're running, your cortisol levels go up in your body, you've got more adrenaline pumping because you need those from a fight, flight, freeze perspective, so that you can run faster, or you've got more strength in your muscles so you can fight things off. This is a very Going back to our ancestors, these are just natural things that we have in our body that have helped to protect us. But the same feelings can happen when just, someone doesn't send us a message back, or, we have an argument with someone, and it triggers the same kind of responses in modern day life and in relationships.
It's emotional and psychological threat. Excuse me.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And those threats, if it thinks that we're in some sort of threat or crisis, or that there's danger around, it's just going to react immediately. We don't even need to trigger, we don't even need to think about going into that state. It just naturally happens. It steps in because it's all about safety and protection. And it's really that sort of when we sort of criticize ourselves for reacting in that way, and that then repeats the same kind of patterns of behavior. We fall into this again when we're in the survival part of our brain. We just repeat previous patterns of behavior, what we did before that helped us in that situation, even though it wasn't particularly helpful to us in the long run, or we didn't really want to do that. It was just an automatic survival mechanism that kicked in, and we responded by having that argument or withdrawing, or those kinds of things, or
And the
avoiding
people
things.
pleasing, the fawning that goes with it too, the passivity that can sometimes happen. And then there's not a place for a relationship because you're either in that fractious state or a sort of withdrawn to a distance, armed truce kind of state, or a giving up kind of state.
Yeah, exactly. And that's back to that fight, flight, freeze responses. When you think about in the context of that, we could have less patience with people, or we might get argumentative, or we might avoid things. We might avoid conflict or arguments, or avoid doing something. Or we might just completely withdraw from that relationship, for example. We might just start to really distance ourselves and lower energy as well. And these are all things that you see all the time in relationships, and you can map it back to the fight, flight, freeze responses. They're just different people at different times, and it might be all of those responses, or it might be one that you kind of favor. But you see those really turning up. And then it leads, of course, you've got all the sort of overthinking, the people pleasing, as you just mentioned, and you're reading into things a lot more than you would have, because it's that survival brain which is just obsessive. So you start to go, well, what did they mean by that when they've said this? What did that mean? You start to analyze it and overthink it. Or of course you just start to people please and do things for others that you don't really want to be doing, and then it's making you unhappy inside because you're not really living how you want to be living, or that relationship isn't going how you want it to go. And then it creates that frustration as well, because it feels a threat. It feels a threat to do that. And then, yeah, relationships then just end up becoming difficult rather than they should be easy, because we've got that, we build that connection. You find people and you build that connection, that special person, and then, but you start, these things start to appear, these kind of cracks. And then as you're more and more into that survival part of the brain, those cracks start to get bigger because we're thinking about them more and we're putting more emphasis, and they're becoming a bigger thing in the relationship because we're thinking about them more and more. So they're on our mind more. And we imagine things as well. We create scenarios in our head that haven't actually happened, but that could happen. But then, of course, we believe that the primitive brain thinks that it has happened because it can't tell the difference between imagination and reality.
So people will come to you with a specific issue, maybe like anxiety or a particular fear. And why does working on those really help people to improve lots of areas in their lives, including relationships? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so this is sort of the really interesting thing is that, a lot of people will come to me with, as you say, a specific thing. So it might be that, they've been having trouble in their relationships and they're finding that maybe they're drinking more than they ought to, or maybe they've had an end of a relationship and they're just feeling like they don't want to leave the house, or just maybe things like that, or they don't think they'll find happiness or joy again, and just struggling to kind of cope with maybe things, cope with and come to terms with things. So they might come with a sort of specific problem, and that's very much the symptom rather than the cause. So almost. These are the, like, drinking a little bit more, for example, is something that it's almost a, where the stress leaks out, if you like. But actually, when you find out a little bit more, there's a lot of other stuff that's going on. So there might be work stresses, there might be relationship stresses on all different levels of relationship, family, partners, kids, social life, all these different types of relationships, and just other things in life in general that have added to the stress levels. So because we're treating, really essentially bringing the mental load down, reducing that overall stress levels, even if you don't feel particularly stressed, it's just built up over time, then we're lowering that. So actually, you're getting these boosts of dopamine and reducing cortisol as we bring the stress down. You're getting more dopamine. So you actually see that is impacting favorably across so many aspects of their life, not just, for example, the drinking problem, but you start to see them feeling happier in so many different aspects of their life, and but maybe having more confidence, or feeling more motivated, or having more energy, or just feeling like they want to go and do more things, be more productive, because the overall stress is coming down. And that is such an amazing shift, because people think that we're just going to address that one issue. But actually, what happens in our sessions is very often We don't actually talk about that issue. Very rarely do I talk about the thing that people have come for. It's often other things that are going on, but that problem has been the outlet. It's been the sort of weak point where the stress has sort of shown itself. So that's how it really works. And just everything, as the brain starts to feel safer. And that's what, we're trying to do. Let that survival part of the brain feel safe. And the more that it feels safe and protected, the more that we spend our time in the thinking and our intellectual positive part of the brain that can be off planning and deciding and enjoying and doing all the things that we want to be doing with our life. And so that's how it really works.
That's lovely because it feels like you switch between a sort of panicked child self and you give a sort of calming adult self that can take that child on their lap, calm them down, and then live with the energy of that child. You know, a safe child can play and go on, and the adult can plan activities that really fit and they have a great time together. But if they're just fighting each other and frightened of each other, that's not going to work. So, what actually is changing in the brain when someone starts to feel calmer? Can you tell me the sort of literal truth of that?
Yes. So what some of the key thing is how we move from being in that survival part of the brain up into that thinking part of the brain is that we're starting to help the brain feel safer, calmer. And so how we're doing that is using small, tiny little actions, actually doing something towards helping the situation be better. And it's all about the tiny little actions that you can do. So if we always talk about what will make you feel happier in your situation. How would you like life to be? What would you? So I never focus on what you don't want. I'm focusing on what you do want. How would you want your life to be? What would you like to be doing instead? And so when we've got those goals, we start to work towards making those goals become a reality. Through small actionable steps that feel feasible, that feel that they could be done. What could you do today, tomorrow, tonight? And it's all, and as we start to make these little steps, then we're building momentum. You get that little release of dopamine because we see movement. We see that we're actually starting to move towards how we want things to be in our life. And as we see that momentum starts to kick in, it reduces the fear. And a little bit, we feel safe and we feel a little braver, a little more courageous. And as we take more and more of those repeated steps towards how we want things to be, little bit better, a little bit more here, then the confidence really starts to emerge. And then we feel more motivated to stretch into new things that maybe we wouldn't have stretched into before. But as we just inch forward slowly by small steps that feel manageable, and you start to see the progress that you're making, and you get that dopamine being released instead of the cortisol and the adrenaline, which is all stress hormones, you've actually got this really positive, happy hormone that's all about progress and makes you feel good. It's your reward system, dopamine, and it starts to move you in the direction in which you want to go in your relationships and across all life. And the more that we do that, then the less time we spend in the survival, and the more time that we spend in our thinking, intellectual part of the brain. And all those small little steps, that's how you reduce your mental load because you're starting to work towards the things that you want, and you're starting to address the things that maybe you've been procrastinating about, or maybe avoiding, or just not moving forward with. But once you start to move on, with those things that are kind of weighing you down, start to address them, then this is where the clarity, you start to feel much more calmer. And you feel like, I can do this because I've got the evidence, because I've just done these steps. I'm already doing it. And this is how we get so much calmer, and we build that confidence, we build that momentum. And then you get more control.
Yeah, and you get more connection. I'm reading between the lines. And if you have more connection with yourself, you can then have more connection with the people that you care about.
Absolutely. All about the connection, and you're moving forward.
It's
And
beautiful. It's beautiful. So can you say a little bit about what's different between the work that you do and work that focuses primarily on the past?
yeah, so I mean, what I do, I do, we don't focus on the past in my work, because what we know more about the brain is that if you focus on the problem, then the brain starts to think that problem must be really important. So let's focus on it more. Let's put more energy towards it. Let's really occupy our brain space with this problem. So the problem starts to become bigger and bigger, and because it's all you can think about. But when you actually start to say, well, how do I start to solve that problem? How do I start to actually move on from that problem? And what I do is start to look at how we acknowledge the problem, but to move forward, how do we start to address? And what's the solution to the problem is how you want things to be. Your goals, how rather than focusing on the negatives, we start to focus on the possibilities and how to move forward. So that is really the biggest difference. So it's very practical. We're looking at practical steps forward, and we're looking at practical, a really practical approach. So people are actually noticing progress because they are taking these steps forward, and they're practicing how they want things to be. And the more that you practice it, the more you build these new pathways in your brain. So you've got sort of neural pathways that run in the brain, and along those run our habits, our learned behaviors, patterns of behavior. So once you create a new neural pathway, and then you start practicing this new habit, this new habit of, talking about, maybe it's communication, maybe it's something to do with being, talking more, or small little things that you start to practice in your relationships, then that's what you then start to create, because it's just you start to use that pathway more, so it becomes more grounded. It actually becomes something that then, when you go, when you're then having an automatic response, it now defaults to that new pattern or habit or behavior rather than the previous one, which you've not been using or practicing. So that has started to disappear. And this new pattern starts to emerge. And the more and more that you behave in that new way, that more healthier way, the more that that becomes embedded and stronger. And that's what you then end up automatically defaulting to. So we're actually rewiring the brain for all these new patterns and behaviors which support how you want things to be in your life and
It's
in your
beautiful.
relationships.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I can really see that. So, what kind of changes do people notice in their relationships when they feel calmer in themselves? Let's see if we can really draw that out.
Yeah, so I think one of the things is that we talk a lot about happiness. We talk about what will actually make you happier. What is it? What is it that would help you be a little bit happier this week than you were the previous week? And it's different for everybody. Sometimes it's more about, having more confidence in your relationship, or maybe it's even have like confidence to find new relationships, or it's all different things that people have, but a lot of the time people are just feeling calmer in their relationships and more focused on what they actually want, rather than all the noise of things or focusing on the negative aspects of their relationships, the things that people haven't done or what they didn't say. Actually start to focus on what people are doing, what they are saying, what is good in that relationship. And we help people to focus on what is working in your relationship. So let's do more of that. Let's think about more of that. Those things, maybe you have really good communication or something, or maybe you laugh a lot together, or maybe you really enjoy doing the same things. So it's about, well, how do you start to build more connection and strengthen those relationships through the things that you really enjoy doing that really help the relationship work, rather than the niggly things and the things over here that actually might not matter, but maybe you just get hung up on because you think you should.
The cup in the
Actually,
sink or whatever, yeah.
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, exactly that. All those little things. And we really start to get people to start to notice, because as I was saying before, the brain listens to what you tell it. So if you tell it that this is all bad and, that never do this and that never happens, and then that's all the brain will focus on. Whereas if you start to focus on, oh, we have so much fun together, and oh, we're able to talk endlessly about this, or we just play these silly jokes on each other, or so thoughtful about things, or really supportive. All these kind of aspects, then the brain starts to notice more of that. We retrain the brain to notice the good aspects of that relationship and of their life together. And that's some of the change that we really see. And that boosts the overall happiness. And then when you see the things that are working, or and merge that with how they want things to be in their relationship, then start to create these small actions around bringing that more together, strengthening that relationship and those good things that release that dopamine and put them into that positive part of their brain. And
That's
the thing
lovely.
is, yeah, it's yeah, it's I think the whole relationship then just feels so much lighter. And it's not something to manage. It becomes more natural. It just becomes that's how you are in those relationships. Because you've really quieted the noise and focused what's important and built on the strengths of the relationship and built on taking steps towards how you will want things to be.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, if there's someone listening and asking themselves, I know, why do I feel like this? Why do I keep doing this? What would you want them to understand about themselves?
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand that there's nothing wrong with you. You're not incapable or failing in any way. It's just your brain is in protection mode. It's doing its job a little bit too well, and it's overloaded. So, and we fall into these kind of patterns of behavior because that's what has worked in the past. But the thing is that the brain is, it's changeable, and you can change. It doesn't have to stay how it is. Once you have that realization and actually want to make a change for the better, then that first step, is kind of realizing and noticing, and then deciding, actually, yeah, something needs to change here, really. I want things to be better because you can't think your way out of it a lot of the time, you know. Because it's all wired into the brain and trying to make change, meaningful change that's long lasting. Really, we want to be wiring these new patterns into the brain. And that takes, practice and sort of repetition and having someone to sort of guide and support there. That is just so important to be able to get some help for that. And it's all about these small steps. That's really, really the key, is these small little steps forward.
And you sort of institute those in the work that you do together as you calm the body, you calm the mind, you create space for that new neural pathways and new ways of being. How long does that usually take? If working with you, how long does that usually take?
So, I mean, we work quite quickly. So I would usually say anywhere between 8 and 12 sessions normally, and those sessions are 1 hour, generally once a week. But what a lot of my clients tell me is that they do see change within the first few sessions. So you start to notice the change quite quickly. And then it's about learning that and making these changes, and then it's about practicing making these changes and catching yourself when maybe you can feel that kind of old pattern sort of trying to come in, and then you actually practice the new pattern, the new behavior, the new, like, responding rather than acting, responding rather than reacting to things. So yeah, quite quickly we work.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And how can they contact you?
So yes, anybody can. I'm on all the usual socials. I've got my website, part of Inspired. If you Google Inspired to Change, you will find me on there, and you can email me at marina@inspiredtochange.biz. And for anybody who'd like to explore solution focused hypnotherapy a little bit more and how this might be able to help them, I do offer a free initial consultation, just a relaxed conversation, and I explain a bit around how the brain works in relation to what they're bringing, and we talk about that and how, in more detail, how we can actually help. And so it's very empowering when you understand that, this is just the brain working in the way that it's, wired to do, but actually we can make changes there, and we can get, the thinking part of the brain in control more than the survival brain. And we just have that in case, but we don't need it to be showing up all every day, all the time. So that consultation, is really a great opportunity for people just to make that first step and just explore and see if it feels like something for them.
That's brilliant. That's really lovely. Thank you so much for bringing your wisdom here today. It's been a joy to talk with you.
And you, Heather, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.